Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
All right. Do you have your Bibles? Hold them up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible. And I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Go and open up your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to complete our series on grit today, and I want to talk to you about grit being linked to a higher purpose. We've been talking over the last few weeks about being finishers. God has each of us on a course to run our race. Hopefully, over the last 2 weeks, you've accepted the fact that you're on this world for a reason. There's a calling on each and every one of our lives, that you were put here with a purpose. And even in coming into Christianity and giving your life to Jesus, one of those purposes is not just to go to heaven. Sometimes we think Jesus just saved us to go to heaven, but he brought us into his kingdom also with vision and purpose. Amen. And it's important that we lay hold of that purpose, we lay hold of that vision, and that we're finishers. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit more today, linking the end of the race to why we're running the race. Talking about grit and talking about a higher purpose, it reminds me of this weekend we just celebrated Thanksgiving. How many of you enjoyed your families this Thanksgiving? About half of you enjoyed your family. Okay. The other half, we have deliverance open after service. We won't mention why you didn't enjoy your family. But in talking about Thanksgiving, obviously the first thing that comes to mind to most of us is the idea of the pilgrims. Remember when you were little kids, you made little pilgrim hats and all those kinds of things, and mom and dad took lots of pictures, and you just felt embarrassed. But that's fine. They did that when we were kids, and that's what we do. It's awesome. Anyway, so the pilgrims. Now, the idea of the pilgrims, why did this group of people, about 102, leave their homeland, pile into a boat? Now, there was two boats, but one of the boats was unseaworthy, so they had to pile two boats' worth into one smaller boat. Now, in doing that, they crossed this vast ocean. They put their family at risk. They put everything on the line. They give up all they knew behind them to go to a new world. Now, the hopes we've been taught and we understand was that they could find a place to establish freedom to worship God the way they believed they wanted to worship God. Now, in doing that, they had to be pretty gritty. There were some hardships they had to go through. Obviously, when they got here, the weather, and they landed in the wrong place, and then they had to figure out how to build a society in this harsh territory. And so they had to have a lot of grit. Actually, that first winter, about half of them died. But the idea behind today in talking about grit is, why did they keep going? Why did they cross the ocean? Why did they put all that at risk? Why, when it was difficult and hard, and they were going to end up losing so much, and there was so much at risk, why would they do that? And it was for the hope of the preferred future on the other side. The reason they endured great hardship, the reason they endured great challenge, the reason they were willing to risk the comfort of what they knew is because they had a vision of something that was a higher calling, that their children would be raised in a new civilization, in a new world, to be able to worship God in freedom and to be able to build a culture that they had in their heart. They weren't doing it just because of a passing interest. You know, so many people in Christianity, so many people in this world, they have a passing interest to do something better, to do something great, but they don't really lay hold of that thing, and it never really turns into much of anything, right? But when you really lay hold of a higher calling and a higher purpose, and you understand that what you're doing matters, you're willing to pay the prices. You're willing to say no to certain things. You're willing to say yes to difficult things. You're willing to endure things because of the vision of the higher purpose on the other side. And so that's what I want to talk to us about today. I want to help us understand that being gritty is not us waking up one day saying, you just need to be more determined, or you just need to be more faithful. You just need to be a finisher. The idea of being a finisher is the vision on the end is so real, is so meaningful to you that you are determined to finish. See, it's not an emotional thing. It's not being gritty for the sake of grit. It's not being a finisher because you're saying, I want to be a finisher. It's laying hold of the reality of the end of your race, the reality, the fulfillment of your dream, the fulfillment of your goal. It's linked to eternal plans and purposes. It's linked to the kingdom of God. It must come to pass, because if it doesn't come to pass, the world will be deficient of the dream God put in your heart. The generation will be deficient. Your family will be deficient of the dream and the vision that God put in your heart. This dream is from God, and it must be accomplished. But you see, it's not about we just need to be finishers. If you think grit and the series on grit is just trying to get us to be finishers and forgetting why, this is what today is all about. It's really laying hold of the long-term why behind all of it. So go back to what I said earlier in 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go into the scriptures now, because I want to remind you of who you are, because you're linked to a higher purpose and you're linked to a higher calling. I want to help you understand this. It's not just Pastor Kevin who's just liking you and I think you're amazing. I'm just trying to help you see you're amazing, okay? Because Jesus has made you something amazing and someone that is linked to eternal plans and purposes. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people for God's own possessions, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into marvelous light. I want to help you today raise your understanding of who you are. You're not just saved going to heaven. You're God's nation. You are God's chosen people. You are God's hands and feet and expression of his body in the earth. You are here to proclaim the light into the dark world. You are the solutions to this world's problems. You are the salt. You are the light. You are the city on the hill. Are you understanding what I'm saying today? See, we have to lay hold of that end game. We have to lay hold of the meaning of why we exist. We're not just existing to exist and die. You're a part of something. You're a part of the kingdom of God. You're a part of the family of God. You've been made holy for a reason, amen. Not just to go to heaven, but so that you can contain the holy gifts of the Spirit of God, amen. So you can be used by God in his divine plans and purposes. You can be filled with God, because he can't fill an unholy vessel. So he made you holy so you're prepared so he can fill you so he can do something with you, amen. Do you see what I'm saying here today? I'm trying to help raise your expectation of your life. You are connected to God's vision. You are connected in an inheritance and an authority to get things done. I said it last week. If you weren't here, I'll say it again. And even if you were here, I'll say it again. And again, I say to you. See, I'm just like Jesus. And again, I say to you. One of the purposes of church is to help raise kings and queens. See, you're born into the kingdom, into the family of the king by grace. You're born again, amen, by grace. God births you into your sonship, into your authority, into the kingship. You are kings and queens in the earth. But kings and queens need to be raised as royalty, raised to think like nobility, raised to think. See, when kings and queens grow up, they learn how to rule and reign. They learn how to take dominion. It's one thing to learn about dominion. It's another thing to take dominion in your generation. And so that's what this grit series and what we're talking about today. We are the ones that have to accomplish the will of God on the earth, because if the kings and queens don't accomplish God's goals and dreams, then in that void of leadership, darkness prevails and it accomplishes its agenda. And so today is about helping you understand who you are, and that the goals and the dreams and the visions God's put in your heart are so important, they must come to pass. They matter to this world. Your life is linked to whether or not this world prospers, to whether or not this generation gets any better or it gets worse. It'll get worse if the light doesn't light it up. And it's not just about having a desire. It's about setting goals, creating plans, and being finishers of those goals, running your race. And there's going to be 1,000 reasons to quit the goal, to quit the dream, to quit the vision, to quit the race. But if the vision and the purpose is so strong on the other end, it'll keep you running even when you want to quit. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 from the Weymouth version says this: For if through the transgression of one individual, it's talking about Adam back in the Garden of Eden, death made use of the one individual to seize the sovereignty. All the more shall those who receive God's overflowing grace, that would be us, and the gift of righteousness, that would be us, will reign as kings in life through the one individual, Jesus Christ. You are not just here to live life, you're here to reign in life. You're here to reign as a king. Now, kings get things done. Kings determine the economy of the land. Kings determine how society is going to live. Kings determine right and wrong. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Kings carry out the decrees, amen, the wills and the purposes of God. Hallelujah. Do you understand who you are? You really are kings and queens. You say, but you didn't know where I came from. I know where you come from now. Amen. And I'm trying to help persuade you and help you understand who you are, that what God has put in you is linked to eternity, is linked to eternity, which just like the pilgrims means it's worth the price to sacrifice for that vision. It's worth the risk. The grit comes from the fact that if I don't do it, it won't get done. Or if I don't do it, who will? And if the kings and the queens, us on the earth, are not taking the authority, then the devil will gladly take our place. Amen. And so I want to help us, because if we're losing interest in our races, if we're losing interest in our lives even, I don't understand when believers so many times sit around depressed about life like it has no meaning. It's because we've lost our vision of our higher purpose. You're letting culture tell you that you're too old to matter. That's culture. That's not God. You might think, well, I don't have this, or I don't have, you're looking at all the reasons you don't matter rather than the one reason why you matter. You matter because God says you matter. Amen. And you're filled with the Spirit of God and gifts and talents. And stop listening, because the devil's going to try to talk you out of finishing your race, and you lay hold of what God said about you. I am meaningful in this life. I still have breath in my lungs, and until the day I stand before God, I'm going to run my race. Amen. And I'm going to do something with my life. Amen. And so it's grit in your heart, but not because Pastor Kevin says, oh, I got to be gritty. Fine. But it's because you've laid hold. My life is linked to eternity. My decisions, my choices are linked to eternity. I have to finish my race. And so you ask this question to kind of help you stay motivated long term about your race. You begin to ask about each segment of your life and kind of how life is built, because it's kind of built in different sections. How is my life linked to kingdom purposes? It's a great question to ask yourself today. Sometimes we go through years without asking that question. You know, you go to work, you raise your family, you have all these different areas of your life, but can you just stop for one moment, please, and consider, how is all of this, and how is what I'm actively involved in, how is what I'm committing my talent and my energies to, how is my life linked to kingdom, eternal purposes? If all you can think about this next week is just checking in at the office and just getting things done off your checklist, your to-do list, we have to be intentional with our lives. We only have so many years. Amen. We can't make sand go back up the hourglass. It only goes one way. Are you understanding? And so we have to be intentional about the years that we have and about what we do with our lives, and learning how to budget and plan and figure out why I'm doing certain things, because I want my life to impact for eternity. And if I don't ask that question intentionally, years are going to go by wasted. And so I want to help the kings and the queens remember why you're here. Amen. You're not here to take up space, retire, and just have fun, till the daddy takes the T-bird away and you die. You see what I'm saying? You're here to do something. Amen. How is my life linked to eternal purposes? Open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 26. We've talked about the Apostle Paul through this series because he's one of the most gritty guys you're ever going to see. But he was gritty for a reason. It wasn't because he was just dogmatic or determined. It was because he had a vision, an eternity stamped in his heart. He knew why he existed. He had this idea that what he did was moving everything towards this vision that God had put in his life, this race that God had put him on. Acts chapter 26, verse 14. Paul is standing, giving defense for his ministry, for his activity to this king. His name's King Agrippa. Paul's in prison again. Now, you got to remember, over the last few weeks, we've talked about Paul was shipwrecked three times. He was beaten with rods so many times. He was left for dead a few times. He went through all of this difficulty, and this is why he was able to continue his eternal calling, his heavenly vision. He was linked to this idea that was bigger than him. And so it wasn't, Paul, just get back up and go preach again after you've been beaten down because you just are a determined person. No, the reason Paul picked himself up out of the dust and went back into the same city that just threw rocks at him was because the eternal purpose and vision was bigger than the pain he was feeling in that moment. And he knew if he quit, then that city would not receive the eternity that he had in his heart to give them. Amen. Acts chapter 26, verse 14. So this is what he kind of talks about, kind of what has been his main motivator through all the trouble throughout his ministry. Verse 14. He says, when he had fallen to the ground, because he's recounting the idea that when he was a sinner, he was on his way to go kill Christians in Damascus, riding on a horse. Jesus appears in the sky. When he has this vision, he falls to the ground. That's what he's remembering back to that day. He says, when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul. Now, the Apostle Paul's name originally was Saul, just so you're not confused. Why are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now, this is after Jesus was dead, buried, resurrected, and ascended to heaven. So this was later. Get up and stand on your feet for this purpose. See, here's the purpose. For this purpose, I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, here's purpose again, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who've been sanctified in faith by me. And so when Paul was being persecuted, when Paul was going through trouble, when he was wading out in the water day and night in the middle of the ocean when his ship had sunk again, what continued to push him on his race, what continued to help him stay gritty and to be passionate long haul, was his heavenly vision. He knew that if he didn't bring this gospel to the Gentiles, they would stay in darkness. If he didn't bring this gospel to his Jewish brothers and sisters, they would stay in darkness. They would perish for their sins, they would be under the authority of Satan, and they would also never receive an inheritance that Jesus paid for them to receive. So he knew, if I quit, they all lose. And so his grit was linked to the heavenly vision that says, Paul, you've got to get up again. Paul, you have to preach again. Paul, you have to make the right choices again. Because if you quit, they lose out. It's real, everybody. And I'm trying to help you understand, this is not just for preachers. Each of you are God's holy people. Each of you are God's royal priesthood. Amen. Each of you should reign as kings in life. What you do or don't do matters. Are you understanding what I'm saying? What you start needs to finish. And what you don't finish, people lose out on. Are you understanding that? Amen. That's why we're gritty. That's why we're passionate. It's not because we're just born passionate. Sometimes even that kind of passion fades. Some of us weren't born passionate, but we believe so much in what God has shown us, we're going to be passionate whether we feel like it or not. Amen. The heavenly vision. God has given you dreams. God has given you visions. God has given you desires to see certain things improved in our generation, in your neighborhoods, in your workplaces, in your families. And those desires must turn into actions, and they must be finished. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, Amplified Bible says this, He, God, made everything beautiful in His time. He has planted eternity in the men's hearts and in our minds, a divinely implanted sense of a purpose working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. I want us to hear today that in our hearts is this desire and this link to eternal plans and purposes of God. We know we were born with a purpose. We were born with meaning. We were born in God's design and God's timeline. God is brilliant. I mean, look how he put the human body together, and look how he's put the universe together. Everything works in conjunction with itself. Don't you realize that even you coming into the planet for such a time as this was part of a design, not an accident? Amen. And the way you think and your talents and your abilities, even your personality, is part of God's design for eternal plans and purposes. Amen. But it's about us linking hold of those things and living out of that vision. Amen. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says this, says, where there is no vision, the people decay. You've heard people perish or people throw off restraint. It's because we forget why we're doing what we're doing. And I love the word decay. That's why I use this version of the Bible. It's the good news version of the Bible, even though that doesn't sound like good news, but it is the good news version of the Bible. Because here's the thing. When we don't know why we're waking up every day, we begin to live smaller and smaller lives. When we don't know why we're making the right choices and making ourselves make the right choices, we begin to accept the wrong choices. And we begin to lose sight of, I am choosing to say no to that so I can say yes to the vision of God. See, the reason so many times we choose to go back to our old lifestyles is because we don't realize the size of the new lifestyle. We don't have the great enough vision of what we're saying yes to, and we think what we said no to is better than what we're saying yes to. That's where people say what I had in the world is better than what I had in God. It's because you don't really understand what we have in God. Are you kidding me? Like, what in the world is back there? And it's not because God didn't provide a better life. It's just we haven't seen it. You haven't studied to see it. You haven't heard that message. You haven't accepted that heavenly vision for yourself. What God has in front of you is a great, big, huge life. And what you had before was so small and self-centered and so full of death and decay. And he's given you not only eternal life, but he's given you abundant life, and he's given you an inheritance, and you're to reign as a king in life rather than to be a slave to sin. Come on, somebody. Let's cheer about God for a second, would you please? Man. Woo. But when we lose vision, we begin to perish, and we don't know why we are or what we are. We begin to accept far less. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. I love this passage of scripture from the Apostle Paul again. He says there's this wide door for a great work here, although there's many that oppose me. What do we see here? Paul sees this door in front of him. Now, he also sees there's a lot of opposition, but at the same time he sees opposition, he sees opportunity. What caused him to look and continue to see opportunity? It was the vision, the heavenly calling on his life. See, rather than focusing on all the reasons to quit, all the reasons to let go, he focused on why he must stay. Are you understanding? See, there's this door in our lives. Now, for some, you see a door. You know, I thought about this about doors really quickly. Doors can have two perspectives. Well, a door can have a perspective. You have a perspective about the door. You can have two perspectives about a door. One is doors can keep you out, or doors can be the very thing that lets you in. See, opposition's going to come. Now, you might think to yourself, opposition is enough to keep you out. But you might be able to see that opposition as the very thing that once you overcome it, it brings you the inheritance of everything you saw. See, that opposition that you're facing, that door is there. And for some people, they're just going to see opposition and walk away from opportunity. But the key here is, can you still see the vision of God through the door? Can you still see the vision of God through the opposition? Amen. So many times we let the opposition determine whether or not we fulfill the vision. What Paul is saying here is, I see both the opportunity and I see the opposition. I'm going to keep going because of the opportunity, and I'm not going to put my eyes on the opposition. What are you looking at? Does that make sense? See, it's the idea. Paul was gritty here. Paul was saying, yeah, it's going to be tough. Yeah, there's adversaries, but I'm not called to the adversaries. I'm called to the opportunities. Amen. Yes, there's going to be adversaries to try to pull me out of my race. Yes, there's going to be 1,000 reasons to get me to quit, but I have my eyes on the opportunities. I have my eyes on why I'm called. I have my eyes on the eternal plan and purpose of God. So stop looking at the opposition and start looking at that door as a door of opportunity. Amen. Isn't that good? Yes, it is, Pastor Kevin. That is so good. I know, right? Wasn't that really good? Yes, it was really powerful. Totally changed my life. I know. That's why we spent 5 minutes on it. Can I still see the vision through the opposition? See, I love this idea of long-term eternal purpose and plans where, you know, there's scriptures that start to make a little more sense as well. I think they have deep meaning in this. Like, you know, when you're faithful with a little, because you can see the value of how it's connected to the much. See, we've been taught and we've heard, you know, if I'm faithful with little, I'm going to get the much. But listen to me. If we can begin to be faithful with the little because we can see how the little is connected to God's eternal plans and purposes, then when we're given the much, we can still see how the much is connected to God's plans and purposes. If I can't see how the little is connected to God's plans and purposes, then why would I think the much is connected to God's plans and purposes if I'm thinking it's just about me? See, I'm going to be faithful with the little so me can be blessed rather than I'll be faithful with the little because the little is going to bless somebody. And so now when I get more, I'm still not going to get the more for me. I'm going to get the more because it's going to bless more. Do you see the perspective? It's being able to see through this thing into the eternal plans and purposes of God. I am faithful with the little because I see why my little is connected to the much. And that's what I'm hoping today. You can look at your life, whether you're grandma, grandpa, whether you're rich, you're poor, young or old, whether you have this position in career, that position. So many people, they don't realize how they're initial start or how what they might call little is really connected, and there's an opportunity to connect it to the much. It's about their perspective. It's not that what they do doesn't matter. It's they haven't linked what they're doing to what matters. Amen. Let's talk about our lives. I put our lives in four circles. Now, maybe you prefer five circles. Maybe you prefer three. This is my illustration. Back off. I put your life in four circles. Deal with it. All right, circle number one. Let's talk about how is my life linked to kingdom purposes. Well, circle number one, work. The average American is going to work 40 to 80 hours a week given. How is what I'm doing with all of those hours linked to kingdom purpose? Now, I have a sword here because it kind of represents a king and a kingdom. Bear with me with the illustration. Use your imagination. How is this 40 to 80 hours a week? How am I? See, let me put it this way. Am I going to spend 40 and 80 hours of my week not connected to kingdom purposes and just going to, you know, check in somewhere, waste or spend a lot of time just to make a paycheck? Or can I make a determination in my heart that I'm a king on the earth? I have eternity in my heart, and I can somehow take these 40 or 80 hours and I can make them meaningful, not just for a paycheck, but for eternal purposes of God. I have the power to do that. Amen. See, we think sometimes that only what we do in church is meaningful or eternal, but I want to remind you, you are the church. And so whatever you put your hand to do becomes sacred and meaningful. Amen. So I might work on a factory line. I may be in sales. I might be a teacher somewhere. You might build houses. Your question is, how can I link what I'm doing to eternal purposes? Why? Because it's also going to help you get out of bed and go do a good job in the morning. Amen. It's going to keep your attitude in the right place while you're there because you're not there to serve the employer or the boss alone. You're also here to serve and honor God. Why waste 40 to 80 hours of your week not linked to eternal purposes? The only reason it's not linked to eternal purposes is because you choose not to link them to eternal purposes, not because they can't be linked to eternal purposes. Did you understand that, or is that too fast? Get the recording, slow it down. What I'm saying is it can mean something eternally if you want it to. It can be linked to eternity, into the kingdom, if you want it to. You can begin to look at your coworkers and see, how can I bless their lives while I'm here? Can I be a prayer partner? Can I be a friend? Can I invite them to church? Can I bring them a Bible? Can I bring them something if they're going through a tough time? They lost a loved one. Can I bring them a meal? How can I link what I'm doing to eternal purposes? You see what I'm saying? And also, as I serve my employer and I begin to prosper him, I also know that God is looking at my life and looking at my diligence, and God will continue to prosper me because I'm faithful and I can see how my little, or I can see where my current situation is linked to God's much. But to say I'm going to shut down and I'm not going to do anything of value until I get this bigger promotion or this bigger life, you're missing the eternity in the little in your mind that you have. Is this making sense to anybody? How can you link your career to kingdom purposes? You know, changing anyone's life is kingdom purpose. Making anyone's life better. The Bible says God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power to go around doing good, healing all who oppress the devil. So anytime you are at work and you can help someone who's under oppression feel relief and get free, you just brought the kingdom there. See, but it's your decision. But how? This is your question. I can't answer this for you. How are you linking your eternal plans and purposes? See, because it's going to make you a different kind of worker. You're going to go to work with a better attitude. You're going to shine brighter than everybody else because you work with a different set of eyes. Are you seeing this? How are you linking your occupation? How are you linking? You might be a doctor. You might be a lawyer. Look, how can you bring the kingdom into that? Now, I'm not saying you stand up on the operating table, start shouting in tongues, and tell everyone repent or perish. Don't do that. That's just weird. First of all, there's a lot of wrong things in that. But even as a doctor, you can figure out how can you're saving lives. Praise God, you're saving lives. That's part of kingdom, man. Maybe you can have a quick conversation before the patient. You don't have to bring up Jesus. I understand sometimes they don't let you where you do. But you can look at someone whose life was spared and say, hey, don't waste the rest of your life. Take those extra 20 years you were given. Let's do something with them, huh? Let's go have some dreams or something. I don't know. Who knows what you can do? Other nurses, things. Be a light. Figure it out. But you have to accept the fact that eternity is in your heart, and you're a doctor for more than just being a doctor. There's eternity in you. Link it to what you do. All right. Over here is family. That's another circle of our lives, our families. How is what I do at home linking to eternal purposes, eternity? You know, I want to make sure this is our responsibility, people. We live in our homes. We have our families, our kids, our grandkids, our families. How are we perpetuating the kingdom there? Where are you teaching your children about the things of God? That's why it's so weird to me when people don't continue to bring their kids to things like our youth programs or our Awanas or to kids' ministries and stuff, because part of your life is your family. It's a huge part of your life. And how are you bringing the kingdom, eternal things, into your family? You know, if we're just feeding them and clothing them and getting them to school, but we're not bringing eternity into our home, then how are they going to learn to serve the Lord? How are they going to learn about they have an eternity. Do you understand your kids have an eternity? Your grandkids have an eternity? So what are you doing at home that links your family life to eternal things? Not only that, they all have callings on their lives. All of them have an anointing on their lives. They were born for a reason. How are you helping them discover that? How are you having those discussions? Where are you intentionally mentoring and bringing the kingdom into your house? It's like the book of Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, even in my home, because of the eternity stamped in my heart, because of the vision I have for our kids, there are certain shows that will never come on our television. And there's certain music that will never be in my house. And beyond that, that's just the big stuff. There's certain attitudes that will never be in our house without being addressed. Does that make sense? You don't just sit there and let everyone's flesh all hang out. And I don't mean like dressing them up. I mean like letting their carnality hang out. You know what I'm saying? Man, I got to get more specific. But you know what? Don't let their flesh all hang out either, mom and dad. Don't let them walk out of the house with too short, too low. Half naked, it's cold outside, people. Put a coat on. How am I raising my kids with kingdom in mind? Generosity, kindness, hard work. You know, even recently, under being a parent, there's just a lot of mentoring that goes on for your kids. Even recently, I was trying to teach the kids about how to do a quality job in something, simplicity like that. But I asked them to pick up some things and do some things, and so they just threw it all on the couch and walked away. It was done. I was like, get back over here. I asked you to fix up the room, not throw it on the couch. And so they went and folded some things and put something back, and then I complimented them. Yes, that's a quality job. But do you see, it's because I also know who they're becoming and their destiny, and I want them to be able to be good at what they do and have a pride in what they do, right? But I can see how what I'm doing at home is linked to eternity. You see what I'm saying? Awesome. It's also why I need to be present and we need to be available at home and not be gone all the time. You need to be around your kids. And grandma and grandpa, I know sometimes, listen to me, sometimes we think, well, I don't want to get too pushy into the family. But I think God gave us an anointing to grandmas and grandpas to be pushy. You know what? You buy your grandkids a Bible. I don't care if mom and dad don't go to church. You know what I'm saying? You sow into your grandkids. You bring them to Awana's. You bring them to the youth group. You're still their mom and dad. You say, I brought you into this world. I'll take you out. Leave me alone. I'm taking these grandkids to church. I'm taking these grandkids to hear about Jesus. I don't know what you want to do with your life, but I'm grandma and grandpa. You have to call the cops to get me out of your front yard. You see what I'm saying? I'll water you down with the hose till you let the kids get in the car, and I'm going to take them to church. Amen. I didn't say any of that last night. Y'all are drawing that out. You know, even in my recreation time, it's another part of my life. How is my leisure time connected to eternity? Because, you know, you're always a king and a priest. You don't take that off because you go on vacation. Again, decisions that I make, places I'll go, places I don't go, things I do, things I don't do, because I'm always connected to eternity. It's awesome that you go on vacation. You know, God wants you to go on vacation too. He's the one that implemented the Sabbath. God is not trying to drive you into the ground. God wants you to go on vacation so you can recreate and have imagination and new vision and be refreshed. But that doesn't mean you take time off of Jesus because you're on vacation. Do you see what I'm saying? Or even your kids take time off of Jesus. Oh, we only think about Jesus or talk about Jesus when we're home, but when we're on vacation, we don't. You know what's so cool is you can even take church with you online. Thank you, Jesus. When you're on vacation, and what a model you're sharing with your children that even when we're on vacation, God isn't a burden. God's part of our refreshing. I mean, I remember, you know, we would take seniors on senior trip when I was a Bible teacher at a Christian school, and it was like these kids were doing awesome at school, and we would take them on senior trips, and they would just go nuts. And we had to, like, police them all the time. But you know what? We're adults. We're kings and queens. We don't need people to police us in our call of God for our lives just because we go on vacation, right? And even our vacation, how can this be linked to kingdom things? You know, getting your kids away from the hustle and bustle of life, there is so much eternity and conversation and powerful relationship that can be built in that. This is meaningful, but it's you understanding how to make it meaningful. It's not just busy. You know what I'm saying? It's not just go on a roller coaster, take some pictures, eat some food, and go home. You can intentionally say, we're going on vacation to recreate as a family. We're going on vacation to spend some quality time together. We're going to have some good discussions and have some real good fun memories and make some great mileage in our relationship. You see what I'm saying? But it's intentionality. How is my leisure time connected to eternity? Amen. And then also, lastly here, our resources. We all have resources. You have your time, you have your talent, you have your treasure. How am I intentionally connecting my talents to eternity? Maybe God's giving you the ability to sing. God's giving you the ability to build stuff. God's giving you the ability to solve problems. God's giving you ability in gardening or maintenance. Who knows what it is? You know what I'm saying? God's giving you ability in some sort of talent, some sort of ministry in your heart. How are you connecting that to eternity? You decide. How can I use my gifts, my talents to serve the Lord? Use them. And also your resource. All of us have a certain amount of resource in our life. Whether it's a lot or a little in the world's view doesn't matter. But how intentionally is my resource going into eternal things? There are people who never think about that stuff. You know, we've committed as little kids. My parents taught us how to tithe. 10% of our income always goes to serve the Lord, always goes to build the kingdom of God, goes to plant churches, goes to missions, goes to make this church happen. And you know what? As our income goes up, and Maria and I know that one of the reasons we go to work, now we have different businesses that we run. One of the reasons we increase in our businesses is knowing that more income comes in and more can go into the kingdom. Does that make sense? Can you link why you work sometimes and make a paycheck into not just paying the light bill, but saying, I'm going to work and this offering, this salary that I'm making, it's sacred. You see what I'm saying? A portion of this, and even as it grows, is going to advance the kingdom of God. But if I'm not intentional about that, there's people that want to argue that, and they're like, I just want to give God whatever's in my pocket. Well, what are you going to give God, chapstick and lint most of the time? You see what I'm saying? They're like, well, if I have $5, I'll just give. I don't even think about what I do. I'll just grab and reach by the Holy Ghost. He'll help me just pick out the bill that he wants today, and I'll just throw it in. That is so not priority. That is no value in that. There's no intention. Now, do you understand? I'm going to say this very clearly. One of the reasons Maria and I even make a salary or a paycheck in our lives, no matter what we do, is because we're givers, and we want to give more. It's one of our motivators of why we go to work. You say, well, you go to work because it's your calling. Yes, but part of my calling, it receives something. Part of your work receives something. And so you could say, I'm in manufacturing, I'm in sales, I'm in construction. But you go to work not just to build houses. You go to work to provide for your family, but you can also link eternity and say, one of the reasons I make a paycheck is to provide for the kingdom and eternity. And so now, here's what's cool about that. Now when the devil attacks your finances, he's not just attacking your finances, he's attacking kingdom finances. You see what I'm saying? Man, now you have some ground to pray and to stand on and say, you get your hands off our income, because our income is linked to eternal plans and purposes. But you see, there's an intentionality there. It's not accidental. How I use my gifts and talents, how I use my resource, it's connected to eternity because I connected it to eternity. The potential's there for everybody, but will you connect your time, your talents, your resources to eternity? How will you do that? It's part of the reason of why we exist. It's why we do it when it gets tough. One of the reasons we've always given, even when our own finances were under pressure, is because it belongs to God. It's linked to eternity. It's why I do it even when it's difficult to do it. Amen. It gets difficult for everybody to give sometimes. But we still do it. Why? Because there's purpose and meaning behind it that's greater than my own life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. We'll close here. Whatever you do, whether it's work, whether it's family, whether it's recreation, whether it's your time, talents, or resource, whatever you do, do your work with all your heart or heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Go ahead and stand up. Let's close in a word of prayer. Did you get anything out of that today? Awesome. Let me pray this into our lives. Heavenly Father, right now we come to you and we thank you that our lives are linked to eternity. And Lord, we have a decision to link each piece of our life to eternity and it have meaning and purpose and value. God, I thank you as we've talked about grit over these last few weeks. Clarify the callings on our lives. Clarify the purpose and the meaning on our lives. And Lord, when times get tough or there's a lot of pressure or even the days grow long, that we keep running our race because we see the vision, the heavenly vision over our lives. Make it plain, make it clear. God, I bless this house to run their race, to finish their races, to build what they were destined to build, to accomplish what they were destined and born to accomplish. Lord, I thank you that wherever they go, this world is linked to eternity through them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.